Hey, welcome to Life Church. I'm Steve Gambill. I'm the lead pastor. And what you're about to watch is our worship and our church. I know God has got a great word for you. Come on, let's get this started.
Holy Spirit, let your word This morning, that His Spirit work in us. We make it a prayer this morning that no matter what I face, no matter what I go through, that I make a decision that I'm going to praise. I make a decision that I'm going to worship. I make a decision and a prayer that Holy Spirit, when You begin a work in me, and that which You begun, I'm faithful to finish in the name of Jesus.
So the Apostle Paul says this: I became Jewish to the Jewish people in order to win them to the Messiah. I became like one under the law to gain the people who were stuck under the law and not on the reeds. Verse 23, I have done all this so that I would become God's partner for the sake of the gospel. I intend to show that invitation is an art form. I intend to show that through what the Apostle Paul is saying, that winning people to Jesus is not a formula that you follow, it's an art form that you understand. Winning people to Jesus is not a technique. It's different for every single conversation that we enter into. If the Apostle Paul says, I acted as I was Jewish to win the Jewish, let me interpret that. Therefore, I follow rugby league if someone else follows rugby league.
this, Jesus starts to qualify this banquet conversation that he has. And he goes on to say this. He goes on to say that there was a man who invited many people to join him with a great feast. And when the host arrived, he said, "Come, everything is ready for you." But then everybody started to make excuses. One person said, "I just bought property and I can't come. I'm obligated to go and look at my property." Another person said, "Please accept my regrets, for I just purchased 5 teams of brand new oxen." That's a new one on me. And he got to say, you know, make sure they can pull the plow. Another one said, "I just got married." In other words, all these excuses started to happen. But what I wanted to focus on, yeah, amen, come on, kid, you're with me, come on. What I wanted to focus on is this, that in the Jewish culture, there was always a double invitation to the same event. In the Jewish culture, there was an advance notice, save the date, something's coming. Save the date, this is important. That's how the Jewish culture worked. So when Jesus was sitting at the Pharisees, they all understood the culture of what he was talking about. We lose some of that today. But he was saying, there's going to be an amazing opportunity called heaven. It's going to be this amazing opportunity. That's advance notice. But the second part of this double invitation that we need to understand is the last minute invitation. The first part is the advance notice, but then there's the advance, the last minute. And when it goes on to say that Jesus started to get, he started to get angry, the master started to get angry, he goes on to say this, and he starts to unpack this in such a powerful way. He starts to qualify what he's talking about, lest we miss what he's saying. He says, and I'm going to read this and just follow this and track this with me. After the excuses happened, and after all this happened, Jesus says this in verse 22, the servant returns. He returns to his master and says, "Sir, I have done what you have asked, but there is still room for more." So the master says, "All right, go out again, and this time bring them all back with you. Persuade the beggars on the streets, the outcasts, even the homeless. Urgently insist that they come in and enjoy the feast so that my house will be full. I say to you all, the one who receives an invitation to feast with me and makes excuses will never enjoy my banquet." So we've got this double invitation when Jesus is saying, it's time to go out and make people come in, one Bible version says. Make people come into the house of God. Now, I understand what the Word of God teaches, and I understand the challenge of what this represents to all of us. And so I wanted to talk about 3 reasons why it's not always easy to invite people, why it's not always easy to apply this verse. The first reason is this: rejection. If you've ever shared Jesus with people and been rejected, that's not easy. Rejection is not an easy thing to process. It's not easy in any way of life, especially if you have been rejected in any area of your life. If you've been rejected, then as soon as you start a conversation with someone or you think about inviting someone, it becomes very difficult to understand that. I don't like rejection. I struggle with rejection. But here's what I've understood, that the value of seeing one person accept Jesus is greater than the fear I have of rejection. And I have to remind myself of that all the time, that yes, I might be rejected in this conversation, but if I don't provide the opportunity for that and get over the fear of that, then I'll have to really just decide that I'm not going to be used by God. And God never gives us this option. He commands us in Matthew 28. He says, go and make disciples of all the nations. It's not an option for us to stay quiet. Jesus never imagined his church disempowered, quiet. He never allowed for that. That's why he's talking about this. And so there must be a way as God's people that we can get over and get help for our past rejections. There must be a way for that. I get it. It's not easy. When I had a conversation with my dad, and my dad said to me, "Steve, I don't want to hear any more about this Jesus you're talking about." I had a conversation with my sister. She rejected me as well. Many friends I've shared Jesus with have rejected a conversation. But here's the thing. As I began to pray and seek God. Now everyone in my family knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It took a long time. It took 20-something years. And it's like, we have to understand that a no now does not mean a no forever. A no at the moment doesn't mean that. And if someone says no, be prepared to say, that's okay. If you're not ready to accept Jesus, don't try to argue and persuade them and make them feel bad. You're going to burn in hell. You're going to die. The devil's got you. No, don't do that. The kindness of God leads to repentance. And so say, I get it. You don't want to receive Jesus now. I get it, but I'll pray for you. Let me pray for your family. Let me pray for the people that you're reaching. You know, let's go there in our conversation. And you know what? In all of the years that I've talked to people about Jesus, like 30 years now, a long time, I have never had someone who rejected Jesus also reject prayer. I've never, ever had that. Somebody reject Jesus and say, well, that's fine, but is there anything I can pray for you? I've had hardcore atheists say, yes, pray, even though they don't believe in God at the moment and at that time. Because they think, oh, it's a nice thing if you pray for me. They don't understand I'm praying to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great morning star, the God of the creator of the universe. They don't understand when they say, pray for me, that the power of God is in you who raised Christ Jesus from the dead. They don't understand what they're asking for, and they don't need to, because you're going to speak straight to their spirit. That's what it means to overcome rejection and to deal with that past. I get it. I get it. Some people get rejected in their marriages. They get rejected by their teenagers. They get rejected by teachers. They get rejected by bosses and employees. But you will never be rejected by Jesus Christ. He will be with you always through every situation that you face in life. Jesus isn't like someone who walked in human skin with a human attitude. Because although he had human skin, he had a divine nature that defied rejection, that defied the obsessions of people that rejected him as Lord and Savior. And even at this meal, the Pharisees rejected him. They ended up crucifying him. But it didn't stop Jesus, so don't let it stop you. Jesus needs us to understand this. Second reason is this. Second reason why I think it's difficult sometimes to invite people, I want to say that word difficult, but I just want to be real about it, is this. Reaching people different than you. Reaching people very different than you, from a different culture, from a different background, from a different walk of life, from a different cultural understanding than you. In our city here, the city where we're based here, people are different than us. Many different skin colors, many different races, many different cultural backgrounds. I get all that. But that's why the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that I become like the person I'm becoming to. I've led Muslims to Jesus Christ. I've led people from different nations to Jesus Christ because people need Jesus. And so I've realized it might not be easy, but so I'm going to say to you, when you reach people different than you, look for the common ground. Look for the common ground. Look for connection points. Look for situations that will help you. And if you can find those connection points, then it will help. The band's just coming up to help me right now because they're all different kind of people, and they're going to come up and help me play in a minute. Just, they're going to help me. Okay, final thing is this. The final purpose is this. Regret. And this is the big one. One of the things that stops us from inviting people is past regrets. Past things that we have struggled with. Past situations in life that we remember. We remember that the situations where we let God down, or we had sin in our life, or we had compromise in our life, we made mistakes when we did difficult things. We remember those things. And those past regrets can be a roadblock for God to use you. And so I want to remind everyone here who has any form of regret in their life, any situation that would cause you to regret anything, I simply want to say this to you. There is no condemnation when you are in Christ Jesus. This is an old lie that an enemy uses, that a past mistake or a past regret causes you to be quiet, to withdraw. And God is not looking for me or you or anyone else to be perfect, because he already is perfect. He is not looking for you or I or anyone else to come up with a great message about how great God is. He doesn't need us to have a great level of communication because He's already great. His victory is already great. His story is already great. And so as we bring this, my part of what I'm saying today, to a close, I'm going to do this as I close because I believe this is how God works. God works like this. God moves like this. He invites people to His banqueting table. He invites them. Hopefully we can follow this. He invites people. He invites people. Come with me. He invites people to come up. Come with me. He invites people. Come, sit at my table. He invites people. Come. Come, sit at my table. Come on, we're going to talk. We're going to hang out. We're going to talk. Just the other day, I was washing my car, and some Pakistani said to me, "Hey, Steve, come have dinner with us." And we came, and we sat, and we had a meal together. We ate curry together, and we ended up talking around their table. I think something happens when you sit. All different people, different races, different colors of skin, different age ranges. I need some young people up here, for crying out loud. I mean, it's like all these people. Katie, come on up. You'll help me. You'll help me, because you look young. I know you're not so young anymore, but you're young. Because you are married now and everything. You are married now and everything. You know what I'm saying? And you come. And you hang out. Here's what I want you to see. All these different people's worlds, backgrounds, cultures, understandings are now joined by the table. Now we're all one. Now we can talk about what's up. Let's spend time together. Let's do life together. Let's build community together. Let's win a nation together. Let's dream together. Let's be creative together. It's like this power. Imagine if it wasn't just these few people, but imagine if it was this campus. Imagine if it was all the churches in the city, all the churches in the nation. What if we did this, church? We would see a revival break out in our nation. We would see God move so powerfully. And even as I'm saying this, some of you are like, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. Do you know what? If we as God's people do not understand the power and the art of invitation, then God's house will not be what He promised it to be. I know this message might land in different people's worlds in different people's ways. And so this is what I'm asking. I'm asking that you take this message from this platform back to your table. You take this message back to your environment and you sit down with your family and your friends and you say, how can we extend a table for others? This Easter, how can we create environments for these kinds of conversations? Amen? Amen. Time is gone. Come on, let's give it up for these people. Thank you so much. So good. So good. So good. Come on, let's just pray right now, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, help us. Help us, Jesus. Help us understand You. Help us understand how good You are, Jesus. In a moment, I'm going to ask Jock and Amy to lead us in this song, but I just want to ask right now with this spirit right now, if you feel right now in the house that you want to join this art of invitation this Easter, could you just, with every eye closed, just raise your hand if you want to join this art of invitation. If you're asking God to help you, I'm just asking you to just, if you want to join with me in prayer, just lift your hands to heaven and we're going to pray right now. Just as you sit, as you're seated and as you're comfortable, Jesus, we pray for every life and every family, oh God. Jesus, we pray, Lord, for a boldness and a courage to come over us, oh God. Jesus, we pray that You would help us to communicate how good You are, oh God. Let it be, God. Lord, we pray for the lost to come home, oh God. We pray for those that are far from You, oh God, to come home. Jesus, we ask You to move like only You can through our mouths. Use our humble lives and our humble stories. Use our humble conversations, our honesty, oh God, to let people know that You're good, that there's hope today, that we can actually make a difference right here in our cities and our communities. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray.
Hey, thank you so much for watching. As we finish our time together, we pray that He has impacted your heart. God is with you, so go on, have a great week ahead.